Moncrief on News Talk.
Time for So You Think You're Not, Barbara and Declan are back with us once again.
Hello.
How are you?
Welcome back. Nice to have the two of you back.
We're back.
Thanks, back to normality.
Back to normality.
Yeah. Indeed. Yes.
I've been seeing a lad for about 3 months. I've known him a long time because we're from the same area. When we started meeting up, I never thought we could be anything serious because he's known for being afraid of commitment. I've always found... I don't know.
Oh, he's known.
Oh, he's afraid of commitment.
I think you get known to the Gardaí first and then you're on the
anti-commitment list. I've always fancied him and he's chased me for about 12 years. But I never let myself go there because of his reputation. We're in our 30s now, though. So when we got in contact, I thought it might be nice to just have one hot fling with him. But after our first date, I wanted to sleep with him. And he said no because I was drunk and that he didn't want it to be just sex with us. Then we booked to go away to a hotel. He cancelled and told me that things were moving too fast. Twice now he's disappeared for a few weeks only to come back and apologise for being emotionally unavailable. And I assume... unavailable in every other way as well. We've gone on numerous dates, which have been amazing. And we've had phone calls for hours into the middle of the night. We also still have not had sex. He'll go a few days without texting me and then just text me like everything is grand. Now I'm in a situation where I haven't had the hot fling I wanted and I really like him. He has indicated that he wants to settle down. But it seems like the consistency isn't there. But what man stays on the phone to someone for 4 hours? If he was just using me for sex, he could have had it. I really don't know what to do.
This is great. I love this. This is great. It's really unusual and it's very interesting. I mean, I like the fact that this guy said no to sex on the first date because she was drunk. That's a
really good sign.
I'm like, that's very good.
Yeah, why did you get drunk on your first date?
Yeah, exactly. But there are a couple of other things which they mightn't be like red flags, but they'd be kind of pink ones maybe.
Okay.
You know, like disappearing for a few weeks. What's that about?
Yeah,
like, does he physically go away or is he just not in contact with her? Like, is she being fully ghosted when he disappears or what exactly does that mean? And then staying on the phone for 4 hours. Like, that's a wee bit over the top. I don't know. Anyway. When you put it...
Well, she seems to like it.
She seems to like it. When you put it all together, it sounds to me like either he's dealing with something else that you're not aware of or potentially someone else that you're not aware of, or he's just not that into you.
Okay.
So, I mean, she says it's only been 3 months and for some of that time he's disappeared. So it's actually been less than that, if you like. So it's not really been very long. So my advice is, since she likes him... and she still presumably wants to have sex with him, well then, you know, hold on for a bit longer. But I would suggest that they try maybe communicate a little bit more. Like, surely at this stage you could ask him, like, why did you disappear?
What the hell's going on?
Where are you going?
Where do you go to, my lovely?
When you're alone in your bed.
And he's apologised for being emotionally unavailable.
But she needs to ask, like, what does that mean?
What's going on?
So I would suggest you do that. But my gut instinct is that this isn't going anywhere. I don't think it's going anywhere.
Someone's texted in erectile dysfunction as a possible explanation.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's how long now? It's a couple of months, 3 months. And like, they haven't had, you know, they haven't done the thing. And so that's building it up as you'd be terrified.
You know, if there wasn't aspects of, you know, being unavailable in other ways, I would go, okay, there's a little bit of a tentativeness, you know, like a trepidation about jumping into bed with each other. That might be the answer. Okay, fine. But there's just a lot going on.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
But there's a lot going on. Like, maybe that's what it is. I mean, maybe that's, you know, but everything else about it seems so kind of hot and cold and a little bit of kind of manipulative stuff going on there. A little bit of kind of the jargon of psychology and a little bit of, like, I feel like she's getting played here. That's my instinct as well. Beginning, the whole way through, that she knows them for 12 years. They've been known to each other for a long time. He has a reputation for being a bit of a player. And so she never would have gone near him because of that. And now he's kind of showing her how he's changed his ways. But he's still also not really kind of fully engaging. So that's just all a bit weird to me. It just doesn't seem like she's even picking up on it herself because she's talking about the lack of consistency. Like, somebody who's available to chat to you for 4 hours on the phone sounds like they're really into you. Unless, of course, they're driving from A to B and they just need to kill the time.
The radio.
You know,
yeah.
there might be a reason why that, you know, these things are happening the way that they're happening, because you're kind of, you're useful at that moment.
Do you think, considering what you just said, which is true, is that like she said she wasn't, that he was known for not being into commitment, which you interpreted as he was probably a bit of a player.
Yeah.
Do you think he might be seeing somebody else as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course. Okay. You know, I'm not saying that's exactly what it is, but if there are gaps in the narrative, there's something in the narrative.
Going on. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? There's something going on there. It doesn't matter to me what it is. Again, in his favour, it's early days yet.
Yeah.
So he's kind of
plodding along.
This is working for him in whatever way it's working for him. But for her, it's raising questions and causing her kind of to, you know, she's not sure what's happening
here.
The
sex thing is a bit odd now that I think of it. Yeah, I think maybe that person who texted in, that never dawned on me.
He sounds gay, or at least confused, or he's gay, exclamation mark.
Please.
No, that's the answer to everything, isn't it?
Well, the answer to everything for me personally, a life of great riches and fabulousness, but maybe not for everybody.
What do you think she should do then?
Look, the reality is, okay, if he is trying to prove to her that he's not a player anymore, the one simple way to do that is to hold off and doing the deed as long as possible. But maybe
he's overdoing it. He's certainly overcooked that goose now.
He needs to get it somewhere else. While he can,
pretend.
I don't know. I mean, again, that's just a complete projection. But my core issue would be the lack of consistency in his behaviour. It's from her interpretation of what's going on.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
No, I agree. No. It doesn't make sense.
And if it doesn't make sense, Norby, that is either, as you said, Barbara, he's just not that into you and that you're a useful idiot in the gaps in his life. And therefore, perhaps maybe the reason why he doesn't want to have sex with you is because he doesn't want then to be caught out, you know, for doing that to you when he was obviously occupied with Larissa from the other village.
That
dude might not be a bad lad, but he's not going to settle down. Anyone can talk on a phone. That's not commitment. If she wants him, let her state it and he can step up or step away. Overthinking is a waste of her energy. Life's hard enough without a spanner like him. She needs to be more strategic about this. Pull back and don't be available to him. See what happens. Someone else says she needs to step back and become unavailable too. She's wearing the big D on her forehead.
What's the big D?
I don't know.
What's a big D?
I don't know. What's the big D?
Well, no, it could be anything. Is it the hat with the D on it?
Oh, dunce.
The dunce hat.
Yeah, or it could mean something else. The big D is something else in my world.
They say put the Nikes on, girly, and run.
Why do people not, even with the answers that are coming in on text, why are people afraid of actually talking honestly and openly and asking a question instead of saying, you play him at his own game and do this? And
I know. What good is that going to do?
Then you're all playing games and nobody's being honest. I don't know why she can't sit him down and say, you disappeared for a week last week. Where'd you go? What was the story? Why didn't you?
Yeah.
What was going on? Like, what's the problem with actually just saying that?
Exactly. And the thing about it is, if this guy's always been a player, that's probably part of the, his MO.
Modus operandi.
Maybe he's trying not to be that guy.
You can't play a player though. You know, if somebody's a player, you can't play them.
If somebody's into you, they don't do this kind of nonsense.
Yeah,
it's as simple as that.
If
you meet somebody
it's
and you really like
as
them,
simple as that.
You don't do this. So I think
which
really
is why the step away advice is the best advice. It is. Just step away. If it's not for you, it won't pass you.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That's
right.
That's
interesting. The next question we have, given the answers to some of that question.
Yeah.
I'm a 26-year-old woman. My boyfriend and I have been dating for over 2 years now. Things have been going really well, or so I thought. Recently, he's been acting distant. He used to send sweet texts throughout the day, but now he only responds when I reach out first.
They all go like that.
Yeah. When I asked him about it, he just shrugged it off, saying he's been busy with work. However, I've noticed that he's been spending more time with his friends, especially this one friend, and I can't help but feel like there's something more going on. I always felt like he and the friend sort of vibed, and not just in a friendship way. People have often questioned my boyfriend's sexuality, which I used to shrug off, but lately I'm starting to question it myself. How do I address this situation with my boyfriend without making things extremely awkward? Yeah, there's an easy way of doing this. If he is gay, I'll be upset at the end of our relationship, but ultimately I want him to be happy.
Over to you. Over to you then.
I think she's like, you know, Declan puts her head in hands end of question.
Oh, God. Why do people always think people being gay is something that's been done to them? Like, this guy being gay.
Called the gay,
not.
Can I hear?
And now he's being gay at me. It's like, you know, God's sake.
He's being gay at me.
Like, okay, look, if he is gay, then the issue about him being gay and being in a relationship with you is a thing. Like, it's like, I'm going to start that sentence again.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
It is entirely possible in the realms of sexuality for a man to both find a woman and a man attractive. That sexuality is called bisexuality. It's the invisible sexuality that everybody forgets about when they're making gay jokes. But the reality of it is that that's kind of irrelevant.
Yes.
If this guy is kind of acting a bit off, going to the gay thing is a bit of a stretch. Do you know what I mean? Mm. And it's also his business. If he's suddenly going to be exclusively homosexual, then he's going to break up with you because that's what's going to happen. But if he's not, I don't know what sorry, let me start that again. I'm trying to speak without offending people here. The bottom line is, she's in a relationship with this guy. She thinks she knows what that relationship is and what it means. And if he's straying outside their understanding of their relationship, then he's cheating. It doesn't matter who he's cheating with. So this is a letter about cheating. And it's not about his sexuality, or it's not about what what he's allowed to do. And putting the gay thing on it is a distraction from the issue here. And from where I'm coming from, she needs to focus on what he is doing within the relationship, that is,
with herself. Yeah,
because having other friends and having other people that you seem to vibe with is normal. I have loads of friends who I seem very close to. Yeah. Doesn't mean I'm having a relationship with them or I'm secretly being straight. My husband doesn't think I'm straight with you, Barbara, although
he's rung me a few times.
Middle of the night angry phone calls.
Yeah.
So she shouldn't like ask him trick questions like, do you enjoy watching Queer Eye and that kind of thing and go, aha.
Do you know what the interesting thing is here though, from my perspective as a heterosexual woman, is that I think there is an expectation, now maybe it's with older generations, that all men should be kind of alpha males. Do you know what I mean? That all men should be quite macho and quite alpha, and they're not. Mm. But as soon as you meet somebody who's not all like, and is much more kind of like, it's like, oh, is he gay? Do you know what I mean? Which is crazy.
But she can also be trying, if she feels, if anyone in it, it doesn't matter what the sexuality of your person is, if you're in a relationship and suddenly it seems like this person is losing interest in you and is more interested in another person, it's possibly easier for her to go, it's because he's gay.
It's not me.
Mm. He's not rejecting me per se. He's realised who he really is, and that's what I meant about
saying that, you know, somebody else being gay is not something that's been done to you, because actually he could just be bisexual and you're still being rejected by somebody,
anyway,
you know, by
matter.
Somebody who would have sex with.
But again, it comes back to the same as in the first question. Like, why can't she sit down and have a conversation with him? Not the like, are you gay conversation, but the, are you happy in our relationship? Like, are we going along all right? Or what do you think? Because I'm sensing that you're kind of maybe, you know, moving away a little bit. That conversation to me is perfectly normal to have.
Now, it sounds like
she
tried to kind of say to him that, you know, he's not texting her as often as he used to. She's implied to him that he's not being as attentive as he once was.
But that always happens in a relationship. Yeah. Mother of God, do you know?
Yeah, so there's a part of it is down to her expectations of what, you know, maybe he started off too hot.
But that's why she needs to.
Too many 4-hour phone calls. Yeah, that's what it was.
Too many sweet texts.
Yeah.
But that's why she needs to just ask him, is he happy, you know, and then put her mind at rest. But as you say, if he's vibing with a friend, like, he's just vibing with a friend, like,
and also
no evidence for anything.
That's about jealousy, though, isn't it? It's about somebody saying, I see you behaving with somebody else in a way that I want to feel you. You
only
know,
behave like me. Yeah, of course.
And that's a really big, if not slightly unrealistic ask of somebody,
it is
to not
agree.
Be a human being around other humans.
But it sounds to me like her friends have also kind of put doubts in her head when she said, people have often questioned my boyfriend's sexuality. So why are the people questioning his sexuality? The people, they probably, is it because they're also witnessing his vibing with Mark, or is it because he's not a big alpha macho male guy that they're thinking, oh, he must be gay because he's a little bit more feminine than
masculine? And I mean, you know, it's so easy to, as you already said, you said it exactly yourself, there's a sort of a characterization of what a man should be like and what a woman should be like. And if those behaviours aren't immediately visible, then they're either lesbian or gay, and there's something obviously not normal of their, which is completely
ridiculous.
Untrue, because most people don't act as kind of, you know, alpha male or you know.
That's a great series on Netflix, actually, and I think they've just released the third season, Alpha Male. Have you watched it?
No, never heard of it.
It's in Spanish and it's subtitled, but it's great. It's about exactly that.
Yeah,
alpha males.
About men being thinking they need.
I have loads of straight male friends who get really annoyed whenever the conversation has to kind of fall into, you know, stereotypical
male behavior.
You know, let's talk about soccer now or everything. Yeah. You know, no, actually, I want to talk about art and architecture,
fashion.
You know, well, not fashion. That's a bit feminine for me.
Okay, so I don't
talk
know. He might, yeah, talk to him, but he mightn't give her a straight answer.
Because he's not straight, he's gay. Boom,
boom, boom. I did not mean that. I did not mean that. Right, yes, that's true. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Are you vibing away from me? Is maybe a way of putting it. I recently reconnected with a childhood friend over Christmas. I was living away in Australia for a few years, and we were always close. But after secondary school, we sort of drifted apart. Since we got back in touch, I noticed that she seemed to be hiding things from me. She often talks about her job, but the way she brushes off her personal life makes me wonder if something's wrong. I'm so happy we reconnected, so I don't want to push her for information. However, when we were kids, she often spoke about her parents' drinking habits and how much it affected her. Talk around our parish would indicate that things have gotten progressively worse in that regard. Her youngest sibling is still in school and living at home, so I can only imagine that the situation is of huge concern. My brother is a teacher in the school that her sister attends, and he has told me that she has missed numerous days. I want to support her, but I don't know how. How can I show her I'm here for her without overstepping boundaries or making her feel uncomfortable?
Oh my God.
Okay, there's a load of gossip here.
Yeah, that's exactly the first thing that jumped off here, is that like everybody's talking and everybody's adding up one and one and getting 400.
And pulling out the pearls much that I nearly broke the necklace.
And maybe this person, I'm sure they are coming from a place of concern and trying to be a good friend and all that kind of stuff. But the only thing that's coming out of this letter for me is that the talk around the parish, number one, which is like, what? And the fact that my brother's a teacher at the school and the child has missed a numerous days. Like, I mean, there, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean
anything
terribly sinister. However,
and it's also none of your business.
And it's none of your business. And we've said this very often before, because we get problems like this regularly about different kind of subjects, but the same thing. Somebody's worried about a friend, but the friend hasn't told them, hasn't confessed to them. So what are they to do? Well, you know what? Then you've got to do nothing. Like, until somebody comes to you and says, I want to talk to you about this, or should they want to share something that is intensely personal, you can't do anything. All you can do as a friend is stay being a friend, stay open, non-judgmental. And I think that's very important here, because I'm getting a bang of judgy off this letter.
Yeah.
When you talk about the talk in the parish and talking to the brother about it and everything else like this. So I think you've got to be very careful that if you do want to be a good friend, you need to make sure that she knows. I mean, you haven't been friends for quite a while and now you're back being friends again. I think it's important that you give your friend very clear signals that you are not judgy about anybody's anything, so that she would feel it was a safe space that she could share with you if that time comes and if you are right. But all of that thing is, you know, not clear at all at this stage. So you can't go rolling into town with some kind of intervention when you don't know what's going on.
The thing is, Barbara, she's not rolling into town. The friend has come back from elsewhere, back into the valley of the twitching curtain blinds.
Yeah.
And has probably realised that her own boundaries are best served by not making everything public to all the village, because with all the best intentions, I told the guard or the postmistress, my brother works there. I'm sure they work in the butcher, they might need to know. And that's how small towns work, and most people from small towns learn to really hate it. Because it's, you know, everybody knows your business.
With an apology to everybody who's listening. It's a small town. Where they've enough to be coping with the snow and the ice and all.
Some small towns didn't get snow. Anyway, of course, I'm being very general there. But the point of the matter is that when there is that level of, you know, concern, nosiness wrapped in concern, people learn to build walls up against that. Now, I'm going to point out something kind of about this woman is that she's jumping from level zero friendship to level 10 friendship with two pints of Bulmers down the local pub. And you're like, come on, that's a bit of a...
They all drink Bulmers in small towns. Did you know
all
that?
All they do, it's a huge thing there.
It's from Clonmel. They don't drink in that. Carry on.
But it is that, it's that level of like, you know, can you not just be in the middle ground of friendship where you just kind of, you know, you're a good source of gossip, clearly. Yeah. So she probably just let her enjoy the gossip that you're spreading around the town without asking her to pay in with some more gossip herself, you know. And that level of friendship, expecting it to go into the, now I'll tell you all my deepest, darkest secrets and my worries, it doesn't feel very real to
reciprocal
me.
I'd be or really supportive. Wary
of no, it like doesn't.
That. Yeah. It sounds more like I'm dying to know.
That's it does, And then and I can tell the brother he was right.
He was right all along.
About the child not being in the school. You know what I mean? Like,
And then you just, all the more reason why somebody, especially somebody who's been out of that thing for a while, coming back in going, I'm not going to give them what they want. Yeah. I'll smile, I'll share a drink with them.
Yeah.
I'll, you know,
but
small
not.
Talk, but they're not getting any of the...
But it is intensely personal. Like, even if you've been a good friend who's never been away, you don't have a right to know your best friend's inner thoughts and inner workings of their life unless they choose to share
it
with you.
Yeah. You but I mean, this person isn't even there, is what I'm
exactly,
saying.
Exactly,
It's not even not even as deep as that.
No, it's not. Yeah. No.
People are still texting in about the first question.
Oh, good.
He's got a person or persons elsewhere. I wasted years on someone like him. Run, girl, far and fast.
I suspect she could be right.
Yeah. Why don't you consider he might really like her and doesn't think he should? He just shouldn't just use her like the other casual sex he had as a player. It's 3 months, though.
It's 3 months is a long
getting on,
time.
Though.
And, you know, she's a willing player in the game of youth.
Maybe he's going to ask her to marry him any day. Maybe that's what he's
that's
waiting
what
for.
That's what it is. Yeah, Ed in Cork says, lads, four hours chatting on a phone. He's gay. Now...
Declan's about to explode.
The only reason I'm reading that out is that I would like bet cash money that Ed isn't gay and that, I know all about this.
This is it, isn't it? It's amazing.
Declan, we do have a problem. When you ring me, you stay on the phone for ages. In fairness, like to Ed,
he does.
He? Like, I
all right, so Ed, as Ed has a spot
Ed
on.
Might have a, Ed might have a point.
Right, okay, fair enough. I'd withdraw that remark.
He just talks about fashion.
Yeah.
All the time.
All the time.
Yeah, but small towns. Won't listen.
It's fashion in small towns. What goes on in small towns?
I'm in a really tricky situation with my sister. She's been married for almost 3 years, and I was the one who introduced them because he and I work in the same company. While I've always gotten along with him, I've started to question his loyalty. There's a woman who started working in our office in September, and she and him have become fairly close. Last week, I happened to be sitting with her and a group of my colleagues in the canteen, and she seemed very surprised to find out that he was my brother-in-law. This sent alarm bells ringing for me. My sister and I had planned a family holiday in May, but he's now claiming he won't have the annual leave to take and started making excuses for why he couldn't come. Call it gut instinct, but I seriously think there's something going on with the woman in work. Or if it has happened, it is about to. I generally wouldn't involve myself in people's relationships, but she's my sister. What should I do?
This is another one.
She's clearly the same woman who's just come home from Australia.
Yeah. God, I want to find out where this place is. All go, isn't it?
Another small town now.
Yeah.
It's kind of mental, isn't it? How people can, you know, take one little instance like somebody being, oh, wow, you're related to they're having an affair with somebody in your family. It's a bit of a stretch. I don't get why, even if it is an instinct based on something even a little bit more substantial, why it's any of our business to be kind of jumping in there. But let's imagine there's a scenario where let's call her Cloella.
Who's Cloella in Cloella the office?
It works in the office.
That's not even a real name. Cloella.
She's not even a real person,
okay.
Barbara.
It's okay. True, okay. Just for legal reasons. No. Okay. It's better not have a real name.
It's okay. A really good. Nobody
like
can say
DeVille.
My name is.
Yeah, okay.
And then there's John, which is just a random name I've picked up.
Yes.
Seamus.
Let's hope so.
Go on anyway. What?
I work in the same office, right?
Yeah.
And then if the sister is married to John, the guy, and you think that somebody in the office has a glad eye on John, it's not your responsibility to, you know, like he's this mad puppy that you need to slap his nose whenever anybody comes into his...
Because like mad puppies, he might like that.
Well, yeah, maybe he does, but it's like, it's not your business.
No, it's not
your
business.
Like, you know,
This is very like the other one. I mean,
reel your neck in is what I'm saying.
But there's no evidence. There's absolutely no evidence for this other than the fact that in work, this Cruella didn't know that she was related to Seamus.
Well, I assume she's implying that she didn't know that Seamus was married at all.
Oh, right, of course. Okay, I didn't get that.
And that she hadn't communicated that information.
But also the thing about not getting the annual leave for the holidays, like, that's quite valid. A lot of people have that issue that they can't get time off and they want to get time off. So, again...
And maybe you're not that much crack to be on holiday with, so he's just looking for any
excuse. Go with your sister.
That's true,
Well, I could kind of think...
Listening to that one gossiping for hours on end about everybody.
Yeah, and asking me loads of questions about Cruella in the office.
Yeah.
It is a thing, though, of, like... regardless about the time for work thing, the thing about whether or not somebody knows that somebody else is married doesn't automatically mean that they're now either going to get their claws into them or it's going to put them off. None of it is her business. It's none of her business.
And friendships are often formed in work environments, you know, that are just friendships, but they can be quite close friendships. Some of my best friends are people I used to work with.
Even if they're having an affair, like, it isn't, even if they were, if it was public knowledge in the office that the two of them are carrying on, that's not something for her to go and try to fix on behalf of her sister.
That's a different story. Do you mean if she'd evidence?
What
if she knew for certain and her sister was being...
She cuckolded.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, great. That's the word.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think it is.
Is that not when somebody's been
cheated on? No, I mean somebody's been cheated on.
Oh,
yeah.
C-U-C. I thought that was when somebody was just being taken advantage of, like, you know what I mean? Or somebody was being kind of...
Oh, could be. Well, maybe it means it in both circumstances.
I think it's like kind of the same concept as a cuckoo, where somebody gets thrown out.
Oh, taking your nest.
Yeah.
Cuckoo's take other people's nest.
Not that I'm kind of etymology queen or anything.
You are, of course. That's because you're gay.
It's fashion, babes.
Yeah. But if this... No, hang on. I think if he was definitely having an affair and she definitely knew 100% for certain, I'm not sure then that she shouldn't tell her sister.
Yeah. Like, that's different. She wouldn't be going trying to sort the problem out work.
But she should tell
the
sister.
Oh, that's all I meant. I meant that it's not your business to deal with it in the workplace.
No.
Because it's just a weird scenario to be trying to be in charge
of. But dealing with
it,
she should tell the sister if she knew for sure.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. That's fine. Sorry, I thought you were saying she should just mind your business.
Like, imagine I was at work with somebody and I thought they were having an affair with my brother. I wouldn't go and talk to them at work about it. Yeah, I'd tell my brother that there's some
stuff
that you need to sort out.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. No, we're on the same page there. Yeah. But in this case, we're telling her to mind her business.
So the reason why I mentioned that was to say if that's the extreme where it could go and that her action would be then to go to her brother and not deal with it within the workplace, without any evidence, even more so, it's none of our business.
And you could be creating a massive problem where there wasn't one before.
You could.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
One texter says, guys, you literally blame the texter every week.
Do we? I know we don't.
And your point is?
Yeah.
Yeah? God help me, how did I ever make it through Christmas and the New Year without my Barbara and Declan? The world is good again.
Oh, God, I wish I'd have known because I had a very, very lonely Christmas. There was only three of us in the house. It was a weird Christmas. So, if I'd have known, like, I'd have,
You're making the world right again.
I am now, so that's great.
Lovely to have you back.
I feel fulfilled again.
Yes. Barbara and Declan, there you
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.